Let's face it, Canadians have a reputation. They're about as friendly as can be, but relations between Canada and China have suddenly become very unfriendly. The Chinese ambassador in Canada just accused Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government of white supremacy. The reason? Trudeau demanded that Beijing release two Canadians detained in China last month. The two are Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor. They were detained after the arrest in Canada of Meng Wanzhou, an executive for the Chinese tech giant Huawei. She was arrested at the request of the U.S. Jeremy Nuttall is the lead investigative reporter for The Star Vancouver. He spent 4 years reporting in China before returning home, where he focuses on China's influence in Canada. So how off the rails are Canadian-Chinese relations right now?
Really off the rails. It's something that I think that Trudeau is really, really sweating. This is a prime minister who has, you know, based so much of his foreign policy around China, particularly for trade, and was pushing for a free trade agreement with China, and China was pushing for a free trade agreement with Canada. I mean, Canadians already weren't really very warm to that idea in the first place. And now all of this, I think, has really made it impossible for Trudeau to get something like that done. People are pretty much outraged.
Yeah, he sounds like he's in a hard spot right now. I mean, presumably under pressure to intervene on behalf of Kovrig and Spavor.
It's not just the pressure, too. I think it's also like, you know, Canada has had a very long history of, frankly, just naivete when it comes to China. The Canadian public and the Canadian government and Canadian diplomats even seem to think that all we have to do is play nice and we can get China to open up when it comes to human rights and things like that. And that's just not going to happen. And there's been this very go-along-to-get-along attitude from the Canadian government for some time. And Canadians have been kind of indifferent to the whole thing, but I think this has really woken them up to how this regime actually operates. And I don't think that the Chinese government is going to be able to come back from this in the eyes of the Canadian public.
What do you know about the conditions of their detention of Spavor and Kovrig?
We don't know much about what's going on with Kovrig and Spavor, but Kovrig has had his second visit from a consular official just yesterday.
Oh, so they have been visited by officials from the embassy.
Yes, yes, they have. But the actual details of how they're being held have not been divulged by the Canadian side or the Chinese side.
So there's Kovrig and Spavor. How many Canadians have been detained in China since the arrest in Vancouver of Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou?
Altogether, it's 13, but 8 of them have been released. A lot of it is just sort of very typical stuff. At any given time, there's about 200 Canadians in the legal system in China for various things. There's a lot of Canadians who live in China, particularly Beijing and Shanghai. And so people get into, you know, they get into bar fights or just little things like that. And so there's always a certain amount of Canadians who are at some level of the legal system in China.
Right. But of that number, how many do you suspect are in retaliation for Meng Wanzhou?
I would say that Kovrig and Spavor, I think that those are probably the only two. I think if there was any others, the Chinese government would want that to be known as well. With Kovrig and Spavor, they've actually come out and said that these two people are accused of endangering state security, you know, whereas the other ones, there hasn't been any kind of public announcement like that.
Jeremy, I know you're working on a report about China's use of soft power in affecting Canadian attitudes toward China. What have you found out? And does that kind of trope of naivete run through your conclusions?
It certainly does. Like, 'cause what we've had is there's a woman named Yashu Cao, who's a human rights worker based in Washington, who's told me that Vancouver particularly is the Communist Party's headquarters in North America. And what she means by that is there are a lot of, I don't want to use the word agents, but people who are very willingly doing the bidding of the Chinese government within the Canadian Chinese community in Vancouver.
Which is really large, isn't it?
Very large. Yeah, there's hundreds of thousands in Vancouver alone. And of course, I mean, it's important to distinguish that a lot of them are not in favor of the Chinese government actions. You know, I mean, they left China for a reason. However, the Chinese government makes a lot of efforts to try to control this group of expatriates. They do things like try to get local think tanks on board with them to sort of write papers that support their points of views on certain issues, these sorts of things. And they also try to cozy up to Canadian politicians at all levels. And the prime minister himself was involved in a scandal a few years ago. He was basically caught with Chinese government officials at a very lavish dinner for fundraising. It turned out that a lot of them had connections to the Chinese government or were also just sort of unseemly kind of businessmen. That was the first instance, I think, where Trudeau kind of got a bit of a wake-up call on what he was dealing with. And it's just kind of gone from there.
Are the Chinese at all successful at penetrating Chinese-Canadian media, you know, either propaganda or fake news or anything like that?
Incredibly successful. We've had columnists fired here in Vancouver because the Chinese government has told their publishers to fire them.
That's extraordinary.
It's an incredibly large problem. One thing that you have here going on now, for instance, is WeChat, which is how a lot of Chinese Canadians still get their news, is controlled, you know, more or less by the Chinese government. And so stories that are critical of China are removed from that. It's actually quite difficult, or it can be quite difficult, for Chinese Canadians to get news in Chinese that is critical of the Chinese government still. A lot of the media here, the Chinese media, will just play ball because it's kind of essential to their business model to have the Chinese government, you know, have them as a trusted source, because it's how they get invited to networking events. It's how they get advertising, things like that. So, yeah, it's quite a problem.
Jeremy Nuttall, the lead investigative reporter for The Star Vancouver in Canada. He focuses on the influence of China in Canada. Jeremy, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.